This episode of Well Met was brought to you by listeners like you over on patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. As a thank you, all patrons who are pledging $5 a month or more as of June 30th, 2019, will be eligible to receive the new Well Met Adventure sticker. In addition, all patrons in the month of June will be entered into a raffle where the winner will receive a free hour of coaching from the co-host of your choice. Thank you for helping support the show.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 203 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. And today is Wednesday, June 19th of the year 2019. And here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by the full crew over in New Hampshire, Mr. Danny Donuts and Mr. Ray C. How's it going, Danny?
Good. It's nice to do the show this week.
Yeah, we had to do it a couple days late this week because Ray C was in Vegas.
Yeah. I was pretty dead too. I got some stories for you.
Got some Vegas stories, but the question is, are you in Vegas right now?
No, I'm home. I got home.
So can you tell the stories? Because I thought that whatever happened in Vegas stayed in Vegas.
Well, now that Twitter exists, that is no longer a thing.
I mean, I didn't really do anything that was, like, that crazy, to be honest. Like, I didn't call one of those numbers on those cards that are on the all across the sidewalk or anything.
Gotcha.
I did nothing actually crazy, just more, I don't even know what I would call it, shenanigans.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Vegas a lot. You know what? We'll be talking about what happened in Vegas as far as the Masters Tour. But Ray, what about Vegas, like your trip to Vegas in general? Let's talk about that.
So the non-tournament stuff, outside of that, like putting the tournament aside, I would say it was actually just one of the weirdest experiences I've had in my life, probably the second or third, like, most interesting trip, whether or not that's for better or for worse. Like, just so much random crap happened.
Did you end up on a yacht?
I said, okay, I'll put this on the third. Like, the craziest trip I've ever had was Pokemon Worlds 2012 Hawaii, when I sat behind Kanye West and then got all my stuff stolen on the way back home. That was a wild trip. Okay. The yacht trip was probably the second craziest trip. And then this trip was pretty out there. The day that I got there, didn't really do too much. Kind of just gambled, you know?
Yeah, lost all your money.
I didn't lose that much, actually. I only lost $50 at the end of the day. I didn't gamble, like, crazy, like a lot of people did. I know, like, man, Frozen lost like $4,000 in one night. I know Dr. J was down like 500, 600 on the last day. I highly doubt any of them got their money back. And if they did, they probably, or if they tried to, they probably lost even more money.
Yeah,
I learned very quickly that,
that
it was a scam. My friend, who is currently the best poker player in the world, he's the first place for the World Series of Poker, was actually there. His name is Dan Zach. You guys might have seen him on Twitter and stuff. He came and hung out the first night. It was a lot of fun, actually. It was crazy because, like, he said he was good at poker, but I didn't realize, like, he was actually good at poker. You know what I mean? You know how people say, like, oh, I'm good at poker? But I didn't realize that meant that he was, like, actually, like, one of the best.
like the leading the poker tour.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy. Did you see that at all on Twitter?
No, I didn't see that. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, it was wild. And then I was like, I talked to him a lot about that. I would actually love to get him on the podcast just to kind of talk about, like, the strategy that, like, transfers over, and, like, how he's actually trying to play Hearthstone more competitively because I guess he just has so much money from poker that he just doesn't really care anymore.
Pulling a life coach
makes sense. So
we've seen that a lot where poker players transition to Hearthstone or the other way around.
Yeah, but he told me he has never gambled before because that's just like a dangerous rabbit hole for somebody that's at a casino 24/7. Like once you start, it's very hard to stop.
Right.
And yep. I definitely could see that. Like once I like it's so fast too. It's like it's not like you're sitting there and you're playing. I mean, you could play the penny slots or whatever, but that's not even fun. Like you're just sitting there, and like if you're winning like what, like such little amounts of money that it's just a waste of your time, and it's not fun. That's what I learned very quickly as well. Like I put $100 in machine and I was just bored. Like I was literally just clicking a button and it was spinning, or I was like pulling the arm and it's just like within 20 minutes all the money was gone. I was like, well, that wasn't fun at all. And then I don't understand why people enjoy it. Like obviously I heard like, yeah, once you win, you're like, well, you didn't win. If you had doubled your money, you would understand it. And I was like, I don't think I would. Like if I doubled my money, like I would probably want to keep playing and then I would lose it all.
Yep.
Like it's very difficult to double your money and then stop. Mm-hmm. I think that is that seems like the hard part. Even if I do double my money and stop, it's still like I'm doubling $100. Like how, like the odds of me doing that is so low. And then it's just like, that doesn't even mean that much to me. Like I would have to gamble like a significant amount of money for me to actually get excited over it, which might sound kind of weird, but like,
a high risk, high reward type thing, right? You gotta be invested with it.
Yeah, but then it's just like if you lose, everything about it is just huge. Nope.
Yeah,
never again. I ended up winning some of my money back, like after I lost the initial 100, I ended up going up like plus 50, and then ETC was like, "Don't be a word I can't say here," and he was just like, "Cause I won. I was up playing blackjack." I was playing with ETC and my friend Mikey, and they got out. Like, we put $50 down. They got out. And once I got to $10, or it was $20, it was, like, $5 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, went all in because they were out, like, every hand. And then I just, like, I was, like, 20, 40, 80, 160. I was like, oh, now I understand. Now I get it. I was like, and then I did walk away, and then ETC was like, don't be a... where's the bleep? Yeah. So and then I walked back to the table and just put it all.
There it is.
I walked back to the table. I put it all in one hand and then I lost. And I was like, well, never doing this again. Until
if you ever need it, if you ever just go put all your money on something, you go to the roulette wheel and put it on black.
Well,
that's one of the best with high stakes. If you ever are just like, okay. Here's a bunch of money that I won at the end of the night. I'm putting it all on black, double or nothing.
Yeah, but we were like at the blackjack area and the roulette table. It was like a 5-minute walk away.
Yeah, it's too far.
Oh yeah, it's all that giant area. That's true.
Like we were there and it was like he was so funny. Like ETC is actually just one of the funniest dudes. Every single time we woke up, he was like, "Time to gamba." Like, I don't know if this is racist, but all the Chinese people were crazy, man. Like, they all were just like, gamble, 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 gamble. I was like, you guys are crazy. I cannot keep up with you. And it was just like, dude, they were going in. He won a jackpot, too. He's like, I won a jackpot. And then I'd be like, that's awesome. Where's the money? Like, how much did you win? He's like, oh, I ended up losing like $100. He won like a $3,000 jackpot. And then just he was like, I was like, what happened to it? And he was just like, casino magic. He just kept saying casino magic. And then whenever we would like walk by the casino, he'd be like, all right, it's time to gamble. And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to. He'd be just like, time is money, friend. It was a voice line from a Hearthstone card that says time is money.
Yep. It's the same.
That's Beardo.
Yeah, Auction Master Beardo. He kept saying it in like a voice like, time is money, friend.
Yeah, it's a World of Warcraft, like goblins say that in World of Warcraft all the time. Like that's like their slogan.
So every month you'd be like, time is money. Like this is time that I could be spent gambling and making money.
Oh man.
I was like, I don't know, like this is not how it works. But I don't want to know where he ended up at the end of the trip. I don't want to know. I know is I had $100. Like I brought a specific amount of money to gamble which was like money I got for my birthday, which was cash. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped gambling all. I was like 150 down. And then at the airport, I just put a $100 bill in the machine while I was waiting. And then I ended up up. I still ended up down $50, but I won like 100 from like I doubled the 100 before I had to go.
Yeah.
Before I had to board my flight.
Ugh.
It was weird. That was just the gambling part. Like there was like the first night was a pool party. That was actually a lot of fun.
You said it wasn't going to be fun, Ray.
It was not fun. Okay, so the part that Blizzard tried to make us do, like they tried to make us play Hearthstone with challenges and stuff. Nobody wants to play Hearthstone in a Hearthstone tournament. That's actually ridiculous.
That's kind of crazy.
If you think you can get Hearthstone players to play Hearthstone for fun at a Hearthstone tournament, you're out of your mind. You're out of your goddamn mind, Blizzard. You need to rethink your demographic of who is at this pool party. None of these players want to play. Like, it's not even like a competitive Hearthstone. Like you're playing like a matchup.
Mm-hmm. It's like a tavern brawl type thing.
It's like a tavern brawl type thing.
Oh yeah, no one cares about that.
Like they
should have set up TFT.
It was fun though because you just get to see everybody. Got to hang out with everyone. Dog said he was my friend, and then I said that I gave him all my luck apparently.
Yeah,
but that night we were talking about decks and stuff, and he was actually on Holy Wrath Paladin until that morning where he saw the leaks. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
the party was fun. Just getting to see everybody. I didn't really go too crazy or anything that night. Obviously, we had to play the next day. Went to bed pretty early after the pool party. Some people went crazy, but I was so tired.
Right,
because we have like a 6-hour flight. Whatever the next day, skip past the tournament because that part doesn't matter. Like I checked in that day too. Whatever. Tournament doesn't matter. Didn't happen. After I went 1-4, which was disgusting. I played against 400s in the row. That was brutal. And they were meme that half of them were meme decks. I played against 9 Lives Hunter at one point. I was like, this is not my day. That's when I knew that the nail was in the coffin. When I pulled up the deck list and it was 9 Lives Hunter at 1-2. I was like, okay.
Should have gotten more casino magic.
I know. I didn't have the casino magic, man. Yeah. And then after that, oh boy, that day was a trip. I don't know if can I talk about how high I got. Is that a thing I can do?
You can talk about. No, let's not go there.
Well, okay.
Let's just say you had a lot of fun in Vegas.
No, I got banished to the Shadow Realm that day.
You got banished to the Shadow Realm.
I got banished to the Shadow Realm, my dudes. I thought I was going to die for a solid 2 hours.
Mm.
It was probably less than 2 hours, but I thought I was going to die. I thought I was choking on my tongue at one point. I thought I survived the heart attack twice. Apparently, it was very funny. But I've learned my lesson. Vegas taught me, dude. Never again. Never again. If you're listening to this podcast, just drugs are bad. Don't do them.
Never again until next time. That's my saying.
No, there's no next time, dude. I learned my lesson. That was not a fun experience. But I also think it was like some part of me was like punishing myself for doing bad. That sounds ridiculous, but I just felt so bad after going like 1-4 because of how much practice I put in to have none of it matter. Like I practiced like Bomb Warrior Mirror probably hundreds and hundreds of games and practice against Mage hundreds of games, and then just to play Hunter 4 times in a row of like versions of Hunter that are not even real decks. It was just super demoralizing, and I was just like, I just want to forget about this.
Yeah.
I should have used the normal route of forgetting about it, like wasting another $100 on blackjack, but nope. I got tricked into getting banished into the Shadow Realm. It was an experience. See what happened after I got banished to the Shadow Realm. Oh. The next day I got food poisoning. Like I ate at, I think it was either from chicken pot pie I had that night, like after I got back from being banished to the Shadow Realm. I was really hungry, so I had chicken pot pie at this place, and it was really good. And then the next day, in the morning, we went to Flavor Town. Perhaps I got a little bit too much flavor while I was in town. I'm not sure, but I definitely got food poisoning, either from that or from the night before. I feel like if it was from the night before, though, I would have been sick like that night.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was from Flavortown, dude. Guy Fieri, he got me good. That it was an overpriced sandwich, and it had food poisoning, and then I got sick, and then I was throwing up. So it was an experience. And then I went to the casual in hotel IV place that gives you fluids and whatever you need if you're sick. So that's when I learned Vegas was a scam. The food makes you sick. Like, they literally have a thing like for food poisoning. I guess normally it's for hangovers. At least that's what the lady was telling me. But they also had like a food poisoning package because of how common that is. So I'm just like, man. And the place that we ate was in the hotel as well. Like, the hotel was a resort, so it was huge. The hotel had a zip line and a Ferris wheel.
What was the hotel? Oh, that sounds like Circus, maybe.
It was the Link.
Okay. I don't even know if Circus is even there anymore, to be honest.
I don't know, but
it might have renamed it. It might be the same one.
Yeah, it might be something else.
Either way, I learned that the machines take your money, the food makes you sick, and then you pay them to get better faster. I could have rode it out, but I still had like a whole nother day, like a day and a half left. So I wanted to get better faster, and I just didn't want to be throwing up in the hotel room or anymore. So I was like, all right, let's try this, see how it works. I went to the IV place. It was super, super nice, actually. It was really weird. It was ironically probably the best experience I had in Vegas, and that, like, to say that, like, getting an IV was like one of the better experiences out of the trip is pretty insane. But it was actually really cool. There was like a doctor, and then there was like a registered nurse who actually worked at a children's hospital, like in cardiology, so they like didn't get freaked out, which is what would have happened if I had gone to like an emergency room or something. Like, they see my medical history and they would freak out, but this lady and the doctor were actually like in cardiac, in pediatric cardiology, so they knew like what the condition was, and they were like, yeah, you probably just need some fluids and some other stuff. I forget whatever it was they gave me, and then I felt better afterwards, and I was good. And then I went back to the hotel, and ETC got to rank one legend, because that's what he does every night and every morning. Every night he goes to sleep by playing Hearthstone, and then I woke up every morning to him talking to himself. Like, come on buddy, don't top deck that, bro, buddy. It was so funny. Like, it's like when you're in a dream state and you just like hear voices. And then, you know, like if somebody's trying to wake you up, like while you're dreaming, you kind of have that weird.
You have that weird dream about it.
Yeah.
But it's so not. Yeah. Like, you don't register yet that this is real life.
Yeah. So I'm like waking up to like every morning to him just like yelling at his computer about like at Hearthstone. It was very. I figured out why he was a grandmaster, man. The guy is on the grind 24/7. And he's very enthusiastic about the game. Like, he gets very into it to the point where he's just like talking to himself. Well, talking at the computer.
Wow.
So it was pretty funny. And he also stayed with me when I was getting the IV and stuff, because he got super nervous because he thought I was like going to die or something. Which, I mean, that's kind of fair, right? Like, it is me. Like, that does happen occasionally.
Yeah, you could die like any minute at any moment. So could we all. Yeah, so could we all.
Not to get metaphysical on the show, but
yeah, no, that was an experience, man. I don't know a better way to describe it other than it was an experience. But I didn't do anything like too crazy outside of that stuff. That was pretty much the whole thing, and obviously just hanging out with friends and then seeing everybody and
good times in Vegas. So it sounds like you had a blast at the Masters Tour tournament then, and most of it is probably just came down to because you got to go hang out with all of these people that you know from the community.
Yeah, and got to meet some of the EU boys that I haven't actually gotten to meet before, and for the most part though, I hung out with the same group of people, like Cora. Dr. J abandoned us because he hates us now. Not literally, he doesn't literally hate us, he's just he hangs out with Killin' All Day and Ant and them now. But it was like I mainly hung out with like Cora, ETC, my friend Mikey, who stayed with me, and Brady and Papa Jason. Papa Jason is a really good guy. Hung out with Witty Bill a lot too. I mean, this Chinese army dude, they're crazy. He's so that blew my mind. Okay, so ETC is also Chinese. And Witty Bill is Chinese. Yep. Apparently, it's like common in Chinese culture to like ask how much money you make. Like they're just very upfront with each other. So ETC just like we go to dinner and he's just like, "So how much money you make?" I was like, "What? That's so rude." And he was like, "That's not rude." And then he like proceeds to tell him. And Dog was there too. And Dog was talking about how he wanted to quit Grandmasters. This is before he won. He wanted to quit Grandmasters and just spend that time streaming because he's losing money by playing Grandmasters. And then Witty Bill got mad at him because he's all about like the prestige. He's like, "I have so much money that I don't even care about money. I would do anything to be in Grandmasters." And so they were like talking about that, and then they're pretty much talking about how much money they have. And then after dinner, like ETC and Witty Bill forgot their wallet, and they were like, they just look at me and they're just like, "He's paying for us." And I was like, "You literally just like just spent like an hour talking to Dog about how much money he has that he would like give up like X amount of money to play in Grandmasters," and then he just turns to me and is just like, "You're paying for me." I like, look down at my wallet. And I'm just like, "Man, I just gambled away my last $50."
You just look down your wallet and you just got this lone fly like coming out of it, and you're like, "Yes, I'm doing dishes, boys."
No, but okay, so I paid for him, and then the craziest part about that ending to that story is that on the last day, he just walks up to me and he just like hands me $100 bills, and he's like, "This is the money that I have left, and I have nothing lower than $100 bills, so here you go." So I just like,
pretty solid.
I was like, "What?
So, good investment." So he paid good investment.
You. So he paid you for dinner and all he had was $100 and he's like, "Here, this pays for my dinner."
Yes, the dinner was like $15 and I'm just like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "You can go get change over there." And he's like, no, I don't want to walk all that way." I was like, "Like what? Like this is just a, like, am I still banished in the Shadow Realm right now? Like, I don't even know what's happening." It was just such a weird trip, man.
Well, you're always gonna remember it, right? That's contrary to most people's Vegas's experience.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really drink at all, so drinking is a scam too. Yeah. To be honest.
Yep.
Like, it's so expensive. Like, I had one drink because somebody bought me a drink, but it was like $18 or $15 for like, it was so, it was like maybe like a beer was worth of like liquid. It was like very tiny amount.
I don't know if Vegas does this anymore because they probably don't, but the last time I was in Vegas, which was probably 18 years ago at this point. I've only been there a couple times, and I've only been there once after I was 21 and old enough to gamble. You could gamble and then get free drinks as long as you tip the waitress. I don't know if that's still a thing or not.
I mean, they do that in casinos in general. Like if you go to like Fall River or like I went to there's a casino Sands near my college where we would go, and if you were gambling, they'd give you drinks.
Right.
It's like yes and no. It's like you have to be there for a while.
Yeah, the waitress has to come over to you, right? It's not like oh, I'm gonna start gambling immediately. Let's get a drink. I'm assuming it's a little bit more spread out.
And yeah, if you tip well, you get more, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like free because it's you have to tip them and you also have to be gambling, which means you're losing money.
Right.
It's just like,
right.
Yeah, so they're making money on the drinks, right? And then the drinks are going to fuel you, in theory, right? If you're drinking, you're going to make less sound decisions in the gambling.
Right, because it's all a scam. It's all a scam.
It really is. It really is. I don't know, man. I feel like
you just got to view it as entertainment, right? Just view it as entertainment, and you're good to go.
Yeah, no, that's what you have to do. Yeah. Do not be like some people out there that just gamble it all away and lose everything. And
oh, I mean, I had a set amount. Like, I only had like the $200 in cash that I got for my birthday, and then that was it. But then I didn't even want to spend that, and then I eventually did because I was at the airport and had nothing better to do. And I was like, well, I got this for this purpose, whatever.
Right.
That was it. I'm done. Never going back. I will never go to Vegas for fun after that, to be honest. Like, we did see Cirque du Soleil, which was pretty cool, but there wasn't too much time to actually organize people to go see shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like nobody wants to like have a block of time where they have to go do something. It's like everybody wants to just go with the flow. and do whatever, and anything could happen at any time. Like, anybody could be like, hey, do you want to hang out? And they'd be like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, they don't want to do something. So nobody wanted to have, like, a scheduled thing that they had to do. So it was, like, it was really hard to get people to want to go see shows. And, like, I don't want to go see a show with, like, just me or, like, just me and, like, one other person. I want to try to get a group of people to go. So we really only got to see Cirque du Soleil, and then that was it. Which was still pretty good.
Yeah.
But even the sights, it's like, yeah, it was cool to see the Bellagio Fountain and, like, the Caesar's Palace things and the Ferris wheel and all, what, like, whatever, the lights, all that stuff. But once you've seen it, it's just like, who cares? Like, once you see it once, it's kind of
whatever. I fully agree with that. Did you go to Fremont Street at all?
Yeah. We went.
That's pretty cool. I really enjoyed that when I was out there.
We saw everything except for, I actually saw it on the way back, like the Luxor, the esports pyramid, the esports arena pyramid thing. I saw that like when I was driving out. I thought that was pretty cool, but we kind of didn't stray too far from the strip or from like Fremont Street when we went that way.
Yeah. Because the time that I stayed, we stayed at the Excalibur, which is actually right next to the Luxor. So that's.
Oh, okay.
So when I stayed, I was down that way.
The Link was like a 10-15 minute walk from the Bellagio.
Yeah.
Which that place was cool. They had like a garden and stuff along with the fountain.
Yeah.
So that kind of sightseeing, like I did enjoy that. But like once you see it once, you never, you don't care.
Right.
Like, I would never care to go and like do that again. If I were to ever go back to Vegas for an event, I wouldn't want to be like, hey, let's go walk around the Bellagio to see stuff. It's like once you've done it once, it's kind of
when I was a kid, like my parents would always go to Vegas like a few times a year. And because it was like super cheap to fly out there usually, and they could usually get like cheap hotel rooms because it was all about gambling and all of that. But since then, like in probably in the last, I want to say 30 years, because this is when I was a kid, like a little kid when this went on. I think Vegas kind of wisened up and decided that people are going to come out anyway and spend a lot of money on all these other things. It's not really a cheap location to go to anymore. So I've just never, I just never really have had a desire to go out there because every time I've looked at flights or whatever and hotel costs, I'm like, eh, I mean, and then I'm going to be spending more money on top of that. And I'm just like, it doesn't interest me that much. If it was cheaper, I'd probably go, but
no, if I had to pay for my own hotel room, like, no, I would never want to go for fun. It was, that was expensive. The hotel, the flight, everything about it was just expensive. Even the food, the drinks, everything.
It used to be you'd get like basically cheap, like it was all about cheap buffets and cheap food, and they just don't do that anymore. They figured out they didn't have to. So.
Nothing was cheap, man. Nothing was cheap.
Yeah.
Not even the IV drip. Especially not that.
So Danny, how was your week?
Well, compared to that, like, my week was fair. My week's been just work.
Yeah, same.
I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone here and there. Made a couple really cool decks. Ended up making a Mechathune deck that has the snip snap combo.
Nice.
Got a little bit of traction and all that stuff. But yeah, nothing new to report.
Yeah, I've been playing I've been playing this since the set came out. A whole Mech Hunter with Goblin Bombs deck, and then I learned recently that that's like a top tier deck now, and I'm like, cool, I've been playing it all this time, so I guess that's a thing. But we should probably get in and talk about the news, if I can hit the right button.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So first of all, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Taku MZ. If you'd like to be a legend of the show or a patron or something like that, just head over to patreon.com/allmetpodcast. And I'd also like to thank our new patron, AJ, who became a patron this month. And as you heard at the beginning of the show, we're doing a special in the month of June. Anybody that signs up in the $5 tier, which is a Sea Giant tier or higher, will get an awesome Well-Met sticker. Sometime they'll be shipped probably sometime in mid-July. Also, just for those that have been asking about them and hey, about like when I would get their address and stuff like that. That all gets sent to me on June 30th from Patreon. So I don't even get to see the addresses or anything until then. Once the patron finishes in June, I'll get all that information. I'll get an order in for stickers. It takes about 10 days or so for me to get the stickers. And then I will ship them out to you on those addresses that are that you gave to Patreon. So they'll probably ship out sometime in mid-July. So hopefully you'll get them pretty soon after that. So I just wanted to put that out there because I have had a lot of questions about it. As far as news goes, the first thing I think Danny wanted to talk about is this. This was something that was in the patch notes in the Snip Snap patch recently. We didn't really get a chance to talk about. So Danny, what was that?
Yeah, sure. So there's been a couple of quality of life changes to the Hearthstone game itself, and I didn't really notice this, but it was until I started really playing a little bit. But it's actually fairly apparent and wild. So the first one, this is just general. Now, if you are in offline mode, you show up as your opponent as you used to in the past. So now you cannot tell who you are playing against, no matter what. So it's actually really interesting. The randomize your card back actually has a purpose competitively now. You can go in, go offline, and then play with a random card back, and now you are a random person on the ladder. You can no longer like track someone based off of their deck, the deck skin they're using.
Interesting. That one I didn't really know about.
Yeah, I only ran across that because I was playing against some people who were offline at some point. I'm like, hey, it's back.
Huh. Yeah, that was something we talked about like a long time ago, where you'd have multiple versions of the game deck built with different card backs, just mm-hmm. so when you would queue into the same person. I mean, I guess you can't really queue into the same person twice anymore, most of the time anymore, but just so people wouldn't know that it's the same person, you would switch card back. So,
and that is the second part you just mentioned. I'm calling it the anti-counter queue tech for Wild, but you cannot queue into the same person two times in a row, or it's very unlikely for you to do it. But that is a huge benefit for Wild, because most of the time, especially if you're getting up higher in the ranks, like you're playing against the same people over and over again. I remember back in December 2017, I think, I was going and we were doing a rat race to Legend back when you started at like rank 15. And I kid you not, I played a Pirate Warrior Mirror against the only other person who had passed rank 5. And we played like 20 games in a row against each other. It's very common and wild for you to play 3 to 5 games against the same person once you've gotten ahead of the MMR curve. So, I mean, it helps now. I mean, the queue times are slightly longer, an extra 30 seconds in wild. If you're really, really high, it's like that's the worst case. But I'll take an extra 30 seconds to not get something, because counter queuing is very prevalent. And I think that strategy, we've actually seen some people who, we're not going to call them dirty counter queuers, but there are some people that capitalize on that system and they've been punished heavily in the ratings. So you've been able to see, over time, you know what type, who utilizes that. And now they're really starting to get punished in the rankings.
Yeah.
So there are some dirty counter queuers.
Counter queuers, dirty counter queuers. But there was a couple other quality of life changes that they did. Being able to access Hearthstone offline, which is cool if you like want to go in and create a deck or mess around in your collection and things like that, because you can do that now. I never really saw a need to ever do that, but it's there if you want to. But the really cool thing that they did was the reconnect improvement. So if you're on your computer and you get kicked off the internet, like off of Wi-Fi or whatever, you can hop on your phone real quick and try to reconnect to the game. And when you do that, it'll just seamlessly happen now, and you'll no longer get go back to like the login launch screen when you're trying to reconnect. So it'll just go right to the game now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it makes that faster, so you don't really get completely screwed if you reconnect and can hop on to like another device or something like that. So I thought that was pretty neat. But the other changes are definitely big. I one of the things that a lot of people thought, because they kind of said it wrong in their patch notes to begin with, was that implementation on reducing the chances of against an opponent with the same player multiple times, because the way it was worded was it originally sounded like it was also against like the same deck type. So if you queued into Warrior a bunch of times, you were less likely to see Warrior. Unfortunately, that's not the case. They just said it wrong in their patch notes originally. So
I bet that they I have a suspicion that that may be something that's coming.
It might be.
That would be that might be something, and the guy who wrote that might have put it out a little early.
Maybe. But I don't know if that, I mean, that's something that people have asked for, but I don't know if that's a good solution.
I don't think so, because then you can assume you're not playing against, like, Warrior, for example, and then you could play a deck that's really bad against Warrior because you know you can't queue into it.
Right.
Yeah, but I think what it is if you queue up with the same deck, right? If you switch decks, you're open to getting back into against Warrior. So you can, what will end up happening is if Warrior becomes super popular, you're playing against Warrior every other game. It's just you'll hit Warrior and then you'll go to another deck, and then you'll hit Warrior again, and then you'll go to another deck, right? It'll work itself out. So percentage wise, you're still probably seeing it. It's just the number of times in a row, so that ultimately it's not like, oh, I faced five Warriors in a row. It's now, oh, I faced five Warriors over 10 games.
I don't know. I feel like it's unfair to the other people you're going to queue in, because then you can skew your deck to not have any Warrior techs. Like, you could even play stuff like Freeze Mage because you know you're not queuing into Warrior. So I feel like it's kind of unfair to the people that you are going to queue into that are expecting a somewhat random metagame.
All right.
That's fair. I think the metagame will definitely get shifted if that happens. But, I mean, like we said, that's not something that has been implemented yet. So,
and I don't think it will be. Happens. I don't think it will be, to be honest. I think, I really think it was just a mistake in the wording, was all. So, but who knows? But the other thing that came out in the news this week, a couple days ago, Hearthstone announced a limited time Toki's Wild Bundle deal that consists of 56 packs from Wild only sets for the price of $34.99. So you get 8 packs each of Kobolds and Catacombs, Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, Journey Done Goro, the Grand Tournament, Goblins vs. Gnomes, Knights of the Frozen Throne, and Whispers of the Old Gods. So this is a question that we've gotten a lot on the podcast. I feel like that people have either tweeted at us or emailed us on, hey, what's the best way? You guys, Danny's doing a great job of talking about Wild, and it's making me want to play Wild. What's the best way that I can do this? This would help.
Yeah. And this is good for both someone who doesn't have a Wild collection, because now you get a bunch of packs for cards that it's like you get a lot of bang for your buck.
Right.
But for someone like me, right, who has the majority of the Wild cards, like I'm missing the occasional, like I didn't have Bolf Ramshield, and I opened a Bolf when I got this collection. But for all of the other cards, like I had most of them. So essentially what it was I was just getting packs. Like the dust rate that I'm getting it was a lot higher, right? The rate that I was getting dust at was economical for me to get this package because I have all of these cards, and I was just getting dust for a much cheaper price.
Yeah. And let's say that you're a newer player, and let's say you just started in the last year maybe, or something like that, and you weren't even playing when the Grand Tournament and Goblins versus Gnomes and Whispers of the Old Gods and those sets were out. And the thing is, since these are 8 packs, your likelihood, like if you never opened up any of those packs, your likelihood of getting a legendary is extremely high in each one of those sets.
Yeah, you get, I think you get a guaranteed within 10, so.
Yep.
Yep. And then when you get a benefit too, because if you've never opened a Whispers of the Old Gods pack, you immediately get C'Thun and all the C'Thun cards.
Right, so you get a
free... Or not all the C'Thun cards, you get C'Thun and some of the C'Thun cards.
You can't disenchant those though, right?
No, but I mean, you still get a legendary, right?
You still, it, like... It It depends, though. Like, if you're not going to play wild, it doesn't...
Well, yeah, no, that's true. But I was looking at it from the perspective of someone who's like, hey, maybe I want to go try out a Cthune deck or something.
Right, like, right. If if you're not going to play wild, you're probably not interested in this to begin with.
Yeah, probably not. Although, still, if you're doing it for the disenchant value where it's like, hey, I have every single card in the standard collection, if I was to buy packs right now, all my cards would become dust. And then if you went through and then you just bought this, and then you went in and you disenchanted everything, you're getting more dust. If you're, you get more dust than you're paying for, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I made a comment on their official Twitter's post when they announced this, and I was like, give us a reason to play wild so I can want to buy this. Otherwise, it's pointless. It's just dust.
Well, from a competitive standpoint, because you want to play competitively for sure. But like I said, we get a lot of listeners that will talk about, I want to play wild. I want to play something new, something different than standard. This is completely for them. And this, you know, and that's what this is targeting, in my opinion. Yeah. But I agree, they need to do more with wild. They really do.
I had a comment that was directed towards me on that post that was just like, people play for fun, you know? And I was just like,
it does not compute.
Fun
does not compute.
All I'm going to say is my does not compute comment got more likes than his.
Fun is the reason, yeah. I'm on that thread right now. That's so fun. Funny. That's so funny.
So I don't know, man.
That just tells me that your followers, Ray, think a lot like you.
And no, it was random, like random people that don't follow me.
Right. Well, there you go. I think that they wouldn't do this unless they knew that it would be somewhat successful.
I think anything they do, like that's a bundle that is like getting packs for cheaper, will always be successful. Sure. As long as they don't oversaturate the market with them.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you appeal to all wild players to get this, because out of all of the players who I know, I think that every single one of them, or most of them, got this, because it's just free money, essentially. Not free money, but it's like free cards to a degree, because now it's like all the dust that I have, I'm going to spend on legendaries from the next set that I don't get. It's like, now I don't have to go in and spend extra money on packs in those, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I think it would be infinitely more successful if they accompany it by now announcing Wild Open 3.0 or whatever it is that they want to do. I hope that they do. I hope that they continue to have like some type of semi-annual Wild tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because we went through when they were asking a while back, they put out a blog post, what should we do about Wild? And my team One Trick, we put out a response video, and they've done out of the 3 points that we put out, they've done two of them already. And one of them was like this, put out packs for cheaper, or do something along the lines of changing the dust ratio of crafting, disenchanting wild cards. And the last thing that we hadn't said was essentially go through and add it into the competitive circuit, have wild be a part of the game, right? Where it's like, hey, you're competing at the highest level, you need to be a master of all aspects of Hearthstone. You need to be able to go through and play, have one of the attributes of being a world champion be in wild.
But yeah, I think it's a decent bundle for those that are looking to get into wild, and we've had a lot of emails about it. And for those that emailed us in, there you go.
Playing for fun.
Right. Play for fun, because that's Hearthstone. I play for fun, Ray, so fight me. the next thing we wanted to talk about, though, we talked about Vegas a lot at the beginning of the show, but we didn't talk about the actual tournament. We just talked about Ray getting banned to the Shadow Realm a lot. And getting sick and gambling money and all of that.
And all that casino magic.
All that casino magic. But Dog ended up winning Masters tournament. I don't remember who he played against. To be honest, I didn't watch any of it. So I just had other stuff going on over the weekend. So I didn't get to really watch any of it, but Dog ended up winning. But there was some controversy that happened during the tournament. And basically what happened is before players were able to lock in their decks, somehow, actually we know how, the decks that they had already submitted before being locked in, like if they submitted early, were leaked on what those decks were. And players were then able to see what people were bringing. And because they didn't have to lock in their decks yet, they were able to go ahead and change based on those stats.
Yeah. Also, the deadline, this is something we learned, actually, because I took a screenshot at the player meeting of me being able to still submit decks during the player meeting. The decklist registration was supposed to be closed way before that.
All right.
So, I guess maybe in that person's head, the guy who tweeted it, it's like, oh, decklist registration's already closed, even though for whatever reason, they never actually closed it at all. Like, you could submit decklists up until the point where the tournament started and the brackets got made, which is pretty ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, that I guess that wouldn't be an issue as long as that leaks never happened. So apparently you could see the decklist, but I don't have personal proof of that. I don't think any of the players really, I hope none of the players had access to that. I know none of the players that did well had access to it, so it doesn't really matter there. The only thing the public had access to was the archetypes, and there was actually a significant change in Hunter specifically. Originally, when the archetypes were leaked, Warrior was the most popular class. Rogues went down by a few. The bad decks like Priest and Holy Wrath Paladin just got completely cut, and eight or nine more hunters got added into the meta. A bunch of people switched to mage. Almost all of the grandmasters switched to mage, actually.
Fino, and mage is what ended up winning, right?
Yeah. So Fino was on Rogue, Dog was on Holy Wrath Paladin. There were a bunch of other grandmasters that were already on mage but changed some of their techs. Orange said his whole group changed one card in their main deck, which is actually, I mean, it sounds kind of nitpicky, but to be honest, one card is a huge deal. I lost the Warrior Mirror to somebody who added Illysiana to their main deck, and their sideboards were also just super weird for a general metagame. And then I talked to a lot of the people afterwards, and they're just like, yeah, I changed stuff afterwards. And to be honest, I think that that is the correct thing to do. I think there are people that are out there that are saying these people, whoever changed their deck is like a cheater. I think that's absolutely ridiculous to say. I think you are an idiot if you know you're going into a tournament that has a specific archetype and you don't change your deck. Like, if you know you're going into it and your deck isn't optimal based on the field and you don't change your deck, I think you're stupid. I think you should always change your deck.
Especially when the knowledge is now public.
Yeah, once it's public on Twitter, like, everything's fair game at that point.
Yeah, it was public, but the problem with it is that it became public at an awkward time. So I didn't actually get to change my decks because I didn't know that that was a thing until the player meeting, until I was already sitting down. And I was on my iPad, and the accounts that they gave us were incredibly laggy to build decks because it had only all gold cards. So, like, on the iPad, it was super laggy, and I only had, like, 10 minutes by the time I figured it out, by the time the tournament started. So it was just, like, not worth it for me to even try to do it. And I was out for breakfast when it leaked. I was with Cora and Brady and a couple other people. We were just getting breakfast that morning. So
yeah,
it was just, like, if you were doing something like I was, you kind of just got wrecked. Like, you're kind of at a, maybe not a huge disadvantage, but you had an advantage that you missed.
Right.
Like, I could have changed. I would have put the, I guess for me specifically, it wouldn't have mattered because I played against a bunch of hunters. But had I known there was that much warrior, I would have put in Illysiana in the main deck, and I would have changed. I would have changed a side deck. I would have added more silences to account for hunter in one of my side decks. Whereas before, I didn't actually expect that much hunter shenanigans. But once you see the warrior and then you see all the hunters go up significantly, you're like, oh boy, this is these are probably shenanigans hunters.
Yeah. And the way that this happened, basically is BattleFi has different APIs that are publicly accessible. and this French website was using those APIs to show the stats. And apparently they were either using an API that should not have been public, or they were using an API that was public but was configured incorrectly to show information that should have been locked.
Yeah.
I think it was always like that because Yeatier's website pulls from the same API because they closed it down completely. Like, their solution was not fixing it. Their solution was to just cut out all the public API, so Yeatier's website doesn't work.
That was damage control. That means something was programmed incorrectly.
Yeah, that means they did not have something secured correctly.
Yeah.
And so, and information was getting leaked in their APIs that they didn't mean for it to get leaked.
Yeah. So this also starts begging the question. I mean, I've seen some Twitter posts how, like, people had contacted Battlefy about this information in the past. So this really is a dark cloud on Battlefy in general, because now their coding mistake or whatever it may be, their API mistake, really now it puts a cloud on every single, no offense to anyone who qualified, won an event and they put the effort in, they did this, but some people may have had a hidden edge by going through and being able to access the pool of all of the classes that people were bringing to these events throughout the entire qualification process for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you're looking at it from that perspective, right, now you can go in and say, I mean, wouldn't it have been a huge advantage for you to be like, all right, so the metagame of this open is going to be like 40% warrior. I'm going to go and play mage or something. Or, oh, a lot of people are bringing rogues. I'm going to go counter rogue. So having that information and... because you're not going to tell someone, you're not going to tell a bunch of people about that if you know about that information. So that information is going, you're going to hold on to that and try to utilize it to try to capitalize on it. So I don't know. I question a lot of, I don't want to question specific individuals or anything, but now you have to say, hey, for all these events in the future, like, Battlefy is not a reliable place because they have allowed something like this in the past. And, like, they were contacted in January about this. Yeah, so. Yeah. If it was brought to their attention in January, nothing was changed. It was brought up in this thing. That is just a horrible. That's horrible.
I mean, it was brought up. It was brought up in January. They didn't care enough. Basically, they didn't care at all. It blew up in their faces. Then they had to play damage control. And what did they do when they played damage control? They sent out the stupid. They put out the stupid tweet that said, "Update for Hearthstone." Tour stop Las Vegas, the number of registrations by class changed only marginally and fall into the normal behavior observed on the platform for other Hearthstone tournaments. Therefore, there was no impact to the competitive integrity of the tournament.
And then you flip that around and you say, well, if this was standard, then a bunch of people knew about this and they were changing things per usual throughout the event, right?
Yeah, it was a BS PR tweet that, like, everybody called them out on. Like, I was like, this is just PR BS. What are you guys doing?
And they retract that statement.
Then they retracted it the day later by after everybody blew up about this, they were like, we were wrong to assert that the competitive integrity of the event was not impacted. For this, we apologize. Like, okay, they had more than just that.
But it was only, it's good to note that I would say the majority of influencers through Hearthstone, or at least the majority of the influencers that I follow, went on one thread. It was, I think Ostaka started it. And then legitimately every single person in that thread, hundreds of people, went and tagged Battlefy in that thread.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty, I don't know, I consider it, like, wholesome. Like, the whole community is banding together to recognize this thing that is messed up and to try to make them be accountable for it. Like, they can't just brush this off. There's no way Blizzard is going to be like, okay, well, maybe next time. Like, this is Blizzard's biggest event, and it was tainted. The competitive integrity was, I mean, like, it was affected. There's no way around it, right? Like, the person who won the event was going to play a different deck had they not seen the leaks.
Right.
That's just, it's not their fault. They are smart for doing that. And I think that all of the blame lies on Battlefy, and I also think it lies on Blizzard, because this is not something that is new. I have been advocating for a Switch to Smash EG or any other platform, because Battlefy has been consistently terrible for the last 2 or 3 years. This is not something that, if you listen to this podcast for a long time, are even surprised of. And like, to me, I wasn't surprised. I was like, okay, this is just another Battlefy thing. Like, this is consistent. It is not something new. It's not like they got hacked and something drastic happened and it's out of their control. It's not like a DDoS. It's not something crazy. It is literally just their incompetence showing through again and again, except this time it actually impacted something big enough that a change may actually happen.
I question that, but...
I question it too, because if they didn't care about it in January, they don't care about it now. Their tweets was a total PR thing where they were just trying to do damage control. In my mind at this point, because they didn't think they did anything wrong and didn't want to admit to it up front, that they're just trying to push this under a rug and hoping the next time people just don't pay attention to it and just forget about it. And that's what they're hoping.
Also, from the Blizzard perspective too, like, so I don't know. I think that something more drastic has to happen in order for them to have to confront the situation. I think that Blizzard's not going to, unless something very drastic happens, nothing's going to change about
it. I mean, here's what Blizzard has to do, right? They need to go develop the tournament mode that we've talked about for like 5 years on this show and actually implement it, and not just say they're doing it and then cancel it and then go, well, it's not a big deal, and then let this BS go through. You need a way, if you care about competitive integrity in Hearthstone at all, as Blizzard, you need to control that on your own, or find a reliable third-party vendor, which I don't believe there is anything there that could really do what Blizzard would be able to do inside of the client, which would be being able to lock deck lists, being able to add functionality in there that allows you to, you know, potentially create these sideboards, maybe try to do something different with the specialist format, because it's been apparent that that's not working. I think there's something there, but it's not fully there yet. And I think the only way that you get that to work is by adding all of that functionality into the client itself and allowing people to run these tournaments and be able to lock stuff down in there inside of the client, and then you won't. And then you'll still have problems, but they're going to be different problems. They're going to be people problems. They're not going to be this kind of BS.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't believe that it affected such a major tournament in the way that it did. And it feels bad because it directly affected me as well. Like, I had my third round opponent and my first round opponent be like, hey, or they weren't like, hey, I asked them, because their decks were so weird, I was like, did you add this because you saw so many warriors? And they're like, yeah. One of them just added some techs, like he added high main into the main deck, like he's already playing Hunter. And then another one was just like, yeah, I was on Rogue, and then I saw the warriors, so I switched to this pile of garbage. He didn't say pile of garbage, but he said deck, and I interpreted it as pile of garbage. So... Yeah, and then one of my other opponents was like, yeah, I was just thinking about Nine Lives Hunter, but I didn't want to pull the trigger. And then I saw all the warriors, and I was like, okay, well, I might as well pull the trigger. And it was kind of like similar to the Dog situation, where Dog was on Holy Wrath Paladin with like Mage as a backup deck, because that's what Orange and all them were, or Frozen, like his group was playing, but he was on Holy Wrath Paladin. And then once he saw the leaks, he switched to Mage. He was like, okay, yeah, I'm just gonna go with Mage, I'm gonna go with the safer play. And a lot of people were on the fence like that, and then they chose their other deck or whatnot because of what they saw in the leaks.
It sucks because of all the money that people had to spend to go out there, and you know, it's, we only get 3 of these tournaments a year basically, and they're just not being run professionally. And you would expect a company the size of Blizzard to be able to pull something off like this successfully.
We're not even talking about the actual logistical issues either. There were a bunch of disconnects. There were not enough power outlets. Staggered the rounds a bunch. So like my round 2, I had to wait 40 minutes for there to be open power outlets from other people being done faster. Like, there was literally just not enough power to play. And I think the reason why is because they counted each outlet as like, oh, this is going to be good for five matches when, or two matches or something. When in reality, a lot of people's laptop plugs are like, you have people from EU that are using these giant clunky converters and stuff,
right,
that just take up more than one spot on a power strip. Like, these are just basic things that they just didn't get right. And Kibler was talking about it too. He's just like, why don't you have one of these idiots? Because the admins were also terrible. There were so many admin issues as well. Kibler was like, why don't you get one of these idiots to go to Fry's and just get 100 power strips? And they just couldn't do it. And the admins were so dumb. They made so many bad calls. Like, the head admins were fine. God bless Kyle. He was like one of the few good ones. But there were some idiot admins, man, that just, one of them. So there's the situation actually came up a bunch where somebody else would pull out an Ethernet cable that wasn't theirs. And whoever got their Ethernet cable pulled, they wouldn't get the disconnect screen because their computer would then try to connect to Wi-Fi that was too weak to actually like get into the game, but strong enough that it didn't count as a disconnect. And the ruling that the admin gave, like the crappy admins, was that they're responsible for their own device. Even though they were paying attention to the game, their Ethernet cord got plugged and then they missed their like two turns.
So then what do you do? Awesome. What you do as a player then is you go and you start pulling out other people's Ethernet cords saying, hey, he just I pulled out my opponent's Ethernet cord or something like that. You go in and you say, hey, I could go in and pull out my opponent's Ethernet cord and win the game because of that. That's just so stupid.
Right.
That is. Yeah. Yeah. It was.
You're about to lose a game. You pull out your opponent's Ethernet cable. Like, I mean, that's a huge poor sportsmanship move. But realistically, if you wanted to prove to the admins that it's a dumb decision, you just do that.
I mean, then you're like going to get banned because
I'm yeah, right. Well, of course, of course. That is the like I said, a huge poor sportsmanship move. I would never do it, but that's how you prove that point is just one of the most ridiculous things I've heard.
But then again, how do you know that they did it on accident? What if you have a friend sitting next to you and you see that they're gonna lose, so as you're getting up you pull their opponent's Ethernet cord?
Yep, yeah. You could do that.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, instead of losing, they get a free win. It's pretty ridiculous. And then at one point they had people like moving around that were in the middle of games. Like Cydonia had to move during his turn and he ended up roping out his turn because the admin wouldn't let him finish his turn at the table because they had to have him move for some to make space for like other people. It was just ridiculous.
Wow.
And then the funniest part, or the reason why they had to have him move, is because he wasn't at the right table, because his table didn't have a power outlet. And he asked one admin if he could move to this other table that had no people at it, because this was like later in the tournament when people were dropping and stuff. So there were some free tables like down at the like bottom tables. So he moved to the bottom table so he could have a power outlet. And then in the middle of his turn, an admin was like, you're not at your assigned table. You have to move now. And well, I was like, this is just ridiculous. And there weren't enough Ethernet ports. Like, it was so bad. And then the Wi-Fi, like some people played on Wi-Fi because weren't enough Ethernet ports. And then the Wi-Fi wasn't good enough. Ugh. Some of the Ethernet cables weren't good enough. So like during a turn, like if the Ethernet cable like got hit, you would just disconnect because the Ethernet cable was just not good enough because they were just like old pieces of garbage, even though I think I accidentally stole a bunch of them. It was like an accident. It was like I just wanted to leave.
Right.
And I don't actually know if we were supposed to give them back either, because I have one for me and then one from Brady, because like we just didn't know what to do with them. Because like, if you're leaving in the middle of the tournament, the admins are busy. It's just like, are you going to really walk like all the way back there for like a shitty $2 Ethernet cord? Nah. It's like my Ethernet cord now.
I mean, I don't walk over to the ATM or any place to break change that's like 20 feet away. So I just give out $100 bills instead of getting change.
Yo, that was, dude, I learned how much the Chinese streamers make, dude. Crazy.
Maybe you need to move to China, Ray.
Dude, I'm the panda man, dude.
You're the panda man. You should be capitalizing on that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. I don't know how. Actually, I heard Chinese like hospitals and stuff were pretty good, like in the main cities like Beijing and stuff, like the big cities. Mm-hmm. I heard that were not that bad, but I'm not gonna do it. No.
All right, anything else you wanted to talk about Vegas there?
Nah, the tournament was just a clown fiesta.
Yeah,
can't really think of anything else.
Pretty much sums it up.
Ruined. There wasn't enough power strips, no Ethernet, Wi-Fi wasn't good enough. The Ethernet cables they did have were bad. I don't know. What did they do right? Let me think about that. What did they do right? They gave us water.
They gave you water.
That was a big plus. Not even joking. Like, that is a huge plus. We had water.
You had water. And had the security bathroom. Guards
took it away. Whenever we go to the bathroom. That was super funny. The bathroom was past the security check, and you weren't allowed to bring, like, food or drinks. So if you left with, like, your backpack and the water that they gave you, it would get taken away when you go back in, like, just from going to the bathroom. So that was pretty funny. But eventually I learned that, like, if they tell you to throw it away and you just keep walking, nothing happens.
Good security right there. Tell you what.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible security. You could have easily brought in whatever you wanted as long as it wasn't a rocket launcher.
Mm. Maybe even you would have gotten away with that.
I mean, honestly, you probably could have.
You probably could have, because you know what? At the end of the day, you have a rocket launcher and they don't.
So, you know, when you look at it in that terms, you can say that about a lot of things.
Like, there was no metal detector or anything. It was just a bunch of idiots that had security guard outfits on that were just like kind of working.
You know what? They probably didn't even work for the hotel, right? A bunch of guys like, yeah, let's go stand outside the bathroom and be security guards for a day.
No, like you would have your bag open. They'd be like, open your bag. And then they would just like kind of glance down and be like, you're good. But the second you have like a water bottle or something or like a McDonald's bag in your hand, they're like, nope. Like, that's all they were actually looking for was whether or not you were bringing water or some type of food or drink in. Like, you could have put it in your bag and been fine. Anything in your backpack, they did not look. They didn't care.
All right. I don't even understand the point of that, to be honest. That's weird.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I do, but I don't want to mention on this show.
All right. Well, we were gonna talk about an email that we got from Craig. And as I'm sitting here reading the email, my Wi-Fi just completely went out on my PC. And luckily, it didn't like lock up my PC or anything. I was able to save the recording, but just due to it being late here, and I had to reboot and everything. We'll just read it next week, Craig. I'm sorry about that again. I think this is like the third week we've pushed this email back. I did start reading it, but just unfortunately,
it's a pretty epic email.
Yeah, it's a pretty epic email, and it was so epic that it destroyed my computer. So with that said, I think we're going to get out of here before it happens again. So, anyway, if you want to email us, we do want to get more emails. We want to respond to your emails. Hopefully we can get to them. Just email us wellmet@blizzpro.com. Patreon, thanks again to AJ for being a new patron this week. If you would like to join up on Patreon, maybe get some coaching from one of the co-hosts, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Don't forget, June 30th is the deadline to sign up and be able to get a sticker. Once June is done, that's the only way you're going to get a sticker, guys. So you definitely want to do that. And we just had some t-shirts that we were showing off too. That might be a patron thing in the near future as well. Don't know yet how we're going to do that. iTunes reviews, if you don't have money to give, that's cool. That's fine. iTunes reviews are worth their weight in gold. Just head over to iTunes, do a search for Hearthstone. You'll find Well Met there. Leave a 5-star review. We'll read it on the show. It's a great way for other people to be able to find us. And definitely spread that Well Met love, right?
Yes.
That sounds creepy, actually. I'll probably never say that again. I'm sorry.
Spread the love.
Spread the well-meant love. All right. Shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you? Who am I going to start with? Ray.
Shout outs to everybody in Vegas who I met. Y'all were awesome. It was a great time. And you can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy. Yeah, that's it for me.
Awesome. Danny, how about you?
Today I want to give a shout out to the Battlefy PR team. They did a spectacular job this week. yeah. So as for me, you can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
Man, I can't follow that up, Danny. I can't follow that up now. So instead, if you want to find me, you can just find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. I'm trying to speed this up so my computer doesn't die again and we can get out of here. So thanks again for joining us for episode 203 of Well Met, 203, 203. I don't know how to say that. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us wellmetblizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.